Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpeny, Head of Research Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Friday, 28th October 2022, and joining Derek to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Julie Allaire, Head of Frabelux Corporate Sales. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
Good afternoon, Derek.
Hi, Julie.
The US dollar has had another week of decline, and we look to be heading for the largest two-week drop for the dollar since May. Derek, can you please update our listener and let us know if this move will continue next week, when, of course, we have the big event of the week on Wednesday, the FOMC meeting?
Yeah, no, we've definitely had another poor week for the dollar. And as you said, Julie, on a two-week basis, it looks like the largest drop we've had since May. So this is pretty significant in terms of the overall dollar rally that we've had this year. And definitely the Wall Street Journal article last Friday suggesting the Fed are going to shift to a more dovish tone or start to indicate the potential for a pivot. You know, the 2 year is down 25 basis points from the high last Friday, 10 years down over 30 basis points. And of course, last Friday, we had the intervention from the Bank of Japan, although not confirmed. We'll probably get confirmation of that on Monday when we get the monthly data. Your question, Julie, you know, will this continue? Well, obviously, you know, the big event being the Fed next Wednesday, it really is all about that meeting. And that obviously has the power for altering this kind of sell-off and forcing the market to kind of reappraise. And I certainly wouldn't be surprised if we did get some element of disappointment in terms of what appears to be being priced into the markets at the moment. And I do get a sense that possibly we're beginning to go too far in terms of anticipating the Fed turning to something more dovish. You know, ultimately, does the Fed want what's happened in the markets over the last couple of weeks to be built upon? In other words, equities to rally further and, you know, general financial market conditions easing. Inflation break-evens are moving higher. You know, the 10-year break-even is now up over 35 basis points from the low point this month. And, you know, and to give a signal to the markets that potentially the battle is being won against inflation, for me, doing that next week is possibly premature. For sure, the Fed is approaching something towards a shift. There's no way they're going to keep raising by 75 basis points. So, you know, we are going to get a change. But the Wall Street Journal article itself last Friday was merely repeating what was already mentioned in the minutes from the last meeting, which was released on the 12th of October. So it's kind of stating the obvious to a degree. And just the markets might be kind of getting a little bit ahead of themselves in that sense. And, you know, today we had some interesting data that's worth mentioning. Because, of course, from an inflation perspective, I would say the Fed are most worried about the potential for, you know, these inflation levels becoming more ingrained through the pickup in wages and salaries. And, you know, the employment cost index was released today. The wages and salaries component was up over 1% quarter on quarter for the fifth consecutive quarter. The annual rate over 5% for the last four quarters. And what has been largely private sector driven is now shifting to the public sector, where public sector wages increased by over 2% quarter on quarter in Q3. And that is by far a record quarter on quarter increase. So, you know, you could argue the quarter on quarter rates are beginning to stabilize, decelerating a little bit. So there might be some good news ahead. But is next week the week to kind of give an indication to the markets that the Fed are less concerned about inflation and that they're about to pull back? I don't think so. As I said, I think that might be a bit premature. So just given the scale of the moves we've had since the Wall Street Journal article, I wouldn't be surprised if the Fed is a little bit less dovish than what the markets appear to be pricing. And that could be the catalyst for this dollar sell-off that we've had over the last couple of weeks, possibly petering out, and we could get some reversal in the second half of next week. So that would be my leaning at this point in time. It's just a bit premature, and we still have more to do, and the Fed are likely to be a bit more hawkish than possibly the markets are expecting.
Thank you very much, Derek. And in addition to the Fed next week, we have the Central Bank of England meeting on Thursday, but we had also this week the ECB, the Bank of Canada, and the BOG meetings. What are your key takeaways from all these events? And what might it mean for the US dollar as we head towards the end of the year?
Yeah, a lot has gone on. And again, you know, based on what I've just said there in terms of the markets possibly getting ahead of themselves in terms of the potential for a shift in tone or signal from the Fed, the other reason for that building up as a possible scenario for next week is, of course, that other central banks are beginning to behave like that as well. So the Bank of Canada was fully priced for 75 basis points, and they only delivered a 50 basis point increase. The RBA at the beginning of this month expected to deliver 50 basis points, but only raised by 25 basis points. And then, of course, the ECB described in their statement that they had made, quote, substantial progress in withdrawing the monetary policy accommodation. And they also then dropped their reference to hiking for several more meetings. So definitely a sense in the rhetoric from the ECB that they're possibly a little bit further ahead of reaching what they think is the terminal rate rather than what's priced into the markets. So that resulted in some decline in yields in Europe. And I would say, you know, I would differentiate the ECB from, say, the Federal Reserve. I think the ECB, for very good reason, doesn't have to be anything like as aggressive as the Fed, because the underlying inflation picture in Europe is just nothing like in the United States. And the labor markets are not as tight as in the US or in the UK. So the basic risks in relation to inflation are a lot less in Europe than they are than in the United States. But, you know, that kind of consistent pullback from doing a little bit less than what was expected by the markets is obviously feeding the idea that the Fed could do the same next week. But, you know, the Bank of Japan as well, that was interesting, because obviously it's the standalone central bank, well, I guess along with the PBOC, in terms of continuing with its monetary easing stance. And again, the BOJ very much stuck to that today. And indeed, on top of that, the BOJ announced additional JGB buying operations outside of the quarterly schedule. And so that was a very clear message to the markets that they will continue with yield curve control. So the consequence of that, Julie, in my opinion, is that, you know, we go into next week. And again, if the Fed is not as dovish as the markets appear to be expecting, along with what the BOJ has just done today, and the message from Governor Kuroda, I think it's a green light for retesting the resolve of the Japanese authorities in terms of their resistance to yen weakness. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Fed is a bit more hawkish, that dollar yen isn't testing or back above the 150 level, back where intervention took place last Friday. So we could get some more volatility, certainly in dollar yen, and obviously more broadly, if the Fed is that bit more hawkish. And then the Bank of England is the other kind of big event next week. 75 basis points, I think, is most likely. We were probably debating between 75 and 100 before Rishi Sunak came into power and we had the Jeremy Hunt pullback on fiscal stimulus. So now it's probably a debate more between 50 and 75, and we think they'll probably go by the bigger amount just to kind of, you know, reaffirm the fact that the authorities are on top of the inflation risks. We will also get the updated inflation forecasts in the monetary policy report. And I think, similar to August, we will get an inflation rate in 3 years' time, projected by the Bank of England, that is below the 2% target. In August, the terminal rate was projected to be 3%. And now, of course, the terminal rate is more like 5% when the Bank of England was doing its projections, between 5 and 4.75. So a considerably higher terminal rate doing these projections. And I think the conclusion is going to be the same as the last time, that inflation basically will be back below target in 3 years' time, which of course is an implication that there's too much priced into the market. So I think that will be the outcome for the Bank of England next week. And, you know, if the Bank of England are signaling less than what's priced into the market, I think over time, given the very poor macro backdrop and the forced fiscal consolidation, it's still not a favorable backdrop for the pound. So while the pound has rallied on the renewed confidence and credibility of the government, I think the outlook going forward is still not particularly favorable.
Thank you very much, Derek. That's very clear. Let me ask you one last small question. You have consistently been running long dollar positions in your FX Weekly trade recommendation section. Is that still the case? What are your conviction trade view right now?
Yeah, well, thankfully, when we decided to cut our long dollar positions last week when we had the Wall Street Journal article, we just felt there was a potential for this to get a bit of recognition, and it could trigger a squeeze on long dollar positions. So we don't have any long dollar positions as such, but we did establish a new trade idea last week, which was basically long euro versus the pound. So I guess based on what I just outlined to you there in terms of the Bank of England possibly signaling less than what's priced into the market going forwards, along with the fiscal consolidation and what that means for an already weak economy, the backdrop, we think, for the pound is not particularly favorable. So we are still getting this kind of lingering strength on the back of the new government coming into power. But I think that strength will fade quite quickly. And when you look back at the macro backdrop, it's still not favorable. I think outside of a dollar position, euro sterling is a currency pair we think can move to the upside, reflecting that kind of negative pound view that we still have.
Derek, thank you very much for this great market insight.
And thank you, Julie.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.